Well, hi there, and thanks for checking in on us here on That's So Money, the semi-weekly podcast, it seems. Last week, I had intended to do a show either before I left or while I was in Cancun, Mexico, where I was with ASU's women's basketball team for a tournament actually 60 miles south of Cancun, but international travel and the fact that I was also entertaining my daughter who was along on the trip kept diverting my attention away. So we waited until we got home, and we're taping this on Monday, December the 2nd, and we got back to town last night. And it's actually, it's better timing because obviously a lot of people are talking about something I wanted to talk about, and that's last Saturday's football game. We got a couple of things we can discuss, but I have to share with you a story. I've been doing ASU's women's basketball games on radio. This is my 10th year. And most years they travel out of the country at Thanksgiving. In women's college basketball, there are an awful lot of tournaments that are held in the Caribbean, in Mexico. There is a women's Great Alaska Shootout. There's a women's Maui Classic. But it's the Great Alaska Shootout doesn't get a lot of the top teams. And the Maui is actually held a couple of weeks after Thanksgiving, if memory serves. ASU has never played in it, at least in the years that I've been involved with the program. We have been to Hawaii once, been to the Bahamas a couple of times, and this was our third trip to Cancun in the 10 years I've been doing these games. It's really interesting. When you get out of the country and you don't have, you know, the access to the media that you're used to at home, it really reminds you how many things you take for granted when you're at home, wherever you live in the United States. One of the things that we had to deal with, and I make this sound like a hardship, and it wasn't, but we were at a resort in Riviera Maya, Mexico, that did have a fair amount of television channels, including five of them that were sports-related. Couple of ESPNs, couple of Fox Sports channels, but they were mostly showing soccer, which down in Mexico, you can understand that. We got one NFL game, and that was the Thanksgiving Day game between Green Bay and Detroit, and we got no college football. So obviously, we were not privy to a live feed of the ASU-U of A game. I am told that the tournament organizers, who had brought in their own satellite dish, had managed to find the Pac-12 network and were watching the game, but it didn't kick off till 8:30 local time. And because I'm an old guy, I can't stay up past 9 o'clock unless I'm working. So I never got to see the game. I had intended to listen to it on the computer and just never got to that either. So it wasn't until the next morning that I was able to find out the score of the game from the night before. And I was really, I'm not going to sit here and say I was surprised at Arizona State's decisive victory, but it just, I admit, and I've heard a lot of people in the media in the last 24 hours singing Todd Graham's praises because of his attitude of saying, look, the Territorial Cup is nice, but we have bigger goals to attain. And a lot of these media people are very, very happy about Todd Graham's approach because they don't want it to be a situation where the Territorial Cup is the most important thing on ASU's schedule every year. I admit I was in the camp for a long time as a native Arizonan where it was the most important thing. And I'm not at all opposed to Todd Graham saying we got bigger things to achieve because he also says at the same time, hey, I get it. You know, you have to win this game. It's very important. It's important to us. And it's important to our fan base. So I guess you would count me into that group that is very much at ease with the idea of setting sights higher than the Territorial Cup. I cannot wait, and I'm going to be out of town Saturday morning. I'm actually going with the men's basketball team to DePaul. And we fly back from that game on Saturday midday. But I'm very curious and anxious to see what the atmosphere will be like inside Sun Devil Stadium. They had a full house, obviously, for the U of A game, and the atmosphere, I'm told, was just phenomenal. You've had basically, the fan base has had basically a week to scarf up the tickets. So by the time they put the ball on the tee at 5:45 Saturday afternoon, I'm very anxious to see what, number one, how big a crowd they get. I'm very hopeful they'll sell it out again. And number two, what kind of atmosphere is in the building for the Pac-12 title game. This is a real opportunity. Obviously, the stakes being that ASU with a win, whoever wins the game is going to the Rose Bowl as the representative of the Pac-12 because there's no danger of either one of these teams advancing the BCS championship game. But this is, I mean, this has really got the makings of something special. And the fun part of it is, and I think this has been true with the other two ASU Rose Bowl teams of 1986 and 1996. It was not something that you really thought was a distinct possibility at the beginning of either one of those years, and it certainly didn't feel that way at the start of this season. But since the Notre Dame game, this has been a completely different football team. Not only have they won all the games they've played since then, most of them, with the exception of the Utah game, have been decisive victories. Now, one of the two losses ASU suffered this year has been to Stanford, but if there was ever a case of a football team in December being much different than it was in September, and I hope I said that right. I might have said it backwards. A team in December being better than a team in September. It's ASU. So I don't think you take anything from that game at Palo Alto and apply it to how you predict this matchup on Saturday evening at Sun Devil Stadium. A couple of other things that caught my attention out of that event last Saturday night. Greg Hansen, a columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, who's a guy who he's always been a real booster of U of A anything and has never been too crazy about anything related to ASU, wrote a couple of things that really caught my attention. The day of the game, and he usually does a column called Dear Mr. Football, where people supposedly write him questions and ask him things, and he finishes it up with a game prediction. He was asked, and I don't think readers really send in questions. He just formulates them himself. Has ASU arrived as a football program again? And he said yes, and Arizona hasn't. I thought it was a very realistic viewpoint on Greg's part. And truth be told, reading some of the things that he writes, you don't always get the sense that he's being very realistic about things, but he was this week. And his day after column, after the what Rich Rodriguez called an embarrassing performance by his program, Hansen wrote, and I think this is interesting too, that if Rich Rodriguez does not win next year's Territorial Cup game, the honeymoon between he and the fan base in Tucson is officially over. Now, I understand that on this level, you can't consistently lose that game. There have been coaches that have been great successes, but have forever been on the hot seat because of their inability to win certain games. When John Cooper was at Ohio State, his teams consistently won a lot of games, went to some great bowl games, but could not beat Michigan. And he didn't have a lot of success against Arizona when he was the head coach at ASU for 3 years. In fact, he didn't have any success. Two losses and a tie. So, and if it had gone on for an extended period of time, he would have caught a lot of heat over it. Rich Rodriguez, the same thing. He's gone 0-2 so far. And I can understand how people would feel down there that maybe if he doesn't get a win next year, that it might be time to, you know, maybe his seat a little bit warm going into year four. The one thing I would say, though, is in his first 2 years in Tucson, Rich Rodriguez has won more games that he's lost in each of the two seasons. And he's taken U of A to a bowl game in his first year. He will again in his second. And there's always been a feeling, for those who have not lived here a long time, that if you trace it all the way back to the days of Lute Olson, there's always been a feeling that ASU was the football school, U of A was the basketball school, and by and large, ASU was the baseball school. So my point is this. You know, if you go down to Tucson to coach football and you win 7-8 games a year, you're doing your job pretty well. And for people in Tucson to start jumping up and down and screaming about Rich Rodriguez, you want to get mad at him for not winning a territorial cup, that's fine. But I think the idea that you want to make his seat warm or put him on a hot seat if he doesn't get a win in the territorial cup, it might be a little bit out there. If this is the roles are reversed, if this is ASU, yeah, 7-8 wins, and that's the reason they change football coaches. That's the reason they moved Dirk Cutter out. It was the reason they moved Dennis Erickson out. And Dennis Erickson, frankly, there are a lot of places Dennis Erickson wouldn't have survived because a couple of years he didn't even win half of his games. But I'm just saying that at Arizona, you have to lower the sights a little bit. And that's not to be flip at Arizona or be funny. It's just a fact of life. They are in the midst of upgrading the facilities at the U of A, but that football stadium is ancient. It's not well put together. It needs badly needs upgrades in a lot of areas. And most of the emphasis in athletics at Arizona are directed at the basketball program for good reason. It's brought Arizona much more acclaim than the football program has over the years. And it all stems to the hiring of Lute Olson in the early 80s. The year before Lute Olson arrived, you could have shot a cannon through McHale Center and not hit anybody. And sometime down the road, we'll devote a podcast to talking about what college basketball was like both at ASU and the U of A in the early 80s, before Lute Olson arrived. But Arizona has never been a quote-unquote football school. So to my U of A friends, A, be grateful you have a coach like Rich Rodriguez, and B, there's a reason you've never been to a Rose Bowl. It's because you're not a football school. And, you know, what's the meaning of that? Well, essentially it means there hasn't been the emphasis on pouring money into the football program to the extent where they could build themselves up to be a team that could regularly compete for Rose Bowls. Most of the booster money has been poured onto basketball. And, okay, that's fine. And Arizona clearly is a basketball school. None of us in Tempe are going to quarrel over that. The U of A's got it hands down. And has for a long time. But football is a different story. And I see that I've babbled on so long that we've almost used up all of our time already on this week's show. A couple of things, with a couple of minutes that we have left. I'll be really curious to see how ASU basketball does respond after the rough weekend at the Wooden Legacy. It wasn't just so much they lost, but the two games they lost, they apparently didn't look very good. So I'll be anxious to see how they bounce back against a pretty good opponent in DePaul on Friday night in Chicago. And yeah, kudos to the ASU women's team. They did something that they had never done before, and I don't think the men have ever beaten North Carolina in basketball. And I really wish, it's ironic that games like this are played in remote places without a lot of media attention. In fact, the only media that was there was yours truly. But ASU did defeat number 11 North Carolina in overtime, 94-81. They were trailing by 2 points with 8 seconds to go, had the final possession. A missed shot by Deja Mann was put back in at the buzzer by Adrianne Thomas, tied the game at 77. And then ASU just roared past North Carolina in the overtime. It was a tremendous, it was just a tremendous game to watch. And it was an awful lot of fun for yours truly because my first year doing the games, Arizona State advanced to the Sweet 16, lost to North Carolina. A year later in Cancun, lost to North Carolina again. A couple years later in the season opener, played at Chapel Hill, lost to North Carolina. So it's kind of fun to beat them. And like I said, we're just literally almost out of time. But I wanted to just touch on those things related to the weekend. it was really sometime I'll have to tell a little bit more detail of the story of being at this resort. Is it, like I said, it's the third time I've been in Cancun, but this was the most interesting, in a lot of respects, trip of the three. And a lot of it centered around the fact that we had so little contact with American media, and specifically as it related to sports. And the things that you do take for granted when they're not there, you kind of reevaluate and you rethink things a little bit when those things happen. And again, I'm making this sound like we were out in the middle of nowhere in a, in a, you know, in the back of a truck. We were at an all-inclusive resort where, you know, everything, you know, you order food, you don't pay for it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it was a little bit of a interesting experience from the standpoint of certain things you just, you grow accustomed to knowing right away in terms of sports. I didn't see the end of the Alabama-Auburn game. I didn't know anything about it until the next morning. I knew Auburn had won the game. I just didn't know how. And I had to watch a highlight show to find out. So, you know, I'm sure many of you had access to the replay of the missed field goal return for a touchdown over and over and over. I still haven't seen it in its entirety. I haven't seen Mike Tomlin and whatever he did in the Steelers-Ravens game the other night. So maybe I get off this podcast and go download YouTube. Next week, more on whatever it is that's rolling through my head. Hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week right here on That's So Money.